Hello everybody and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to The Kevin Zimmerman Show. This show airs every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Pacific Time. For more information about this show and listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/zimmerman.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at artist_first. Now here's your host of The Kevin Zimmerman Show, Kevin Zimmerman.
Welcome to the Artist First Radio Network, The Kevin Zimmerman Show. I'm Kevin Zimmerman. On this show, you will be introduced to soldiers and authors, athletes and entrepreneurs, and all who have a story. So if you're an author or an entrepreneur and you're seeking publicity, log on to artist.com, go to our homepage, and follow the link. The Artist First Radio Network is proud to acknowledge that we have over 65,000 listeners worldwide, many who serve in our United States Armed Forces. Many of them are deployed to Afghanistan, Europe, and other deployed locations worldwide. To our brave men and women who serve in our armed forces, I want you to know that I'm praying for you, I appreciate you sincerely, and that you will always be supported right here on the Artist First Radio Network, The Kevin Zimmerman Show. Folks that are out there listening, I have multiple ways in which I support our soldiers, but I'll tell you about that later on in the show. I don't want to delay too long because tonight we have a very, very special guest. Tonight we have a world-renowned smooth jazz recording artist, Mr. Jeff Koshua. Jeff is one of the most diverse, in-demand sax players in all of contemporary jazz. He finds pure joy at the heart of his increasing fast-paced touring schedule by reminding himself every time that he gets on stage, he's there to do one thing, and that's play. Jeff Koshua is a jazz saxophonist native from Seattle, Washington, who became known on the music scene in 1989 as a member of the most popular fusion jazz group called the Ribbingers. Koshua joined the Ribbingers following Brandy Field's exit from the group. Jeff prepared himself for the role by learning every song in the group's library prior to being hired, making his eventual step into Field's large shoes seemingly effortless. Jeff recorded his first two solo albums, Remember Catalina and Walk a Mile, during his tenure with the Ribbingers. In 1999, Jeff left the group and concentrated on a solo career with his own band, Coastal Access, which he included Melvin Davis on bass, Alan Hines on guitar, Dave Harper on drums, Dave Kaczynski, I never get that guy's name right, so if you talk to him again, Jeff, tell him I apologize, man. He was on the keyboards and the synthesizers. Mr. Eric Marenthal and Paul Taylor, they rejoined the Ribbingers to cover the sax spot when Jeff left, but for a few years. Then afterwards, Jeff did rejoin the group in 2007 for their 20th anniversary tour and continues to appear periodically with the Ribbingers. In 2004, Jeff Koshua called on some of his saxophone peers and started the new group that would feature that instrument, which I'm talking about, the saxophone, as well as their collective music passion for jazz, funk, and R&B. The Sax Pack featured Jeff Koshua, Steve Cole, and Kim Waters. Along with being cohesive musically, the trio shared a unique and comical camaraderie on stage. The Sax Pack released two CDs called The Sax Pack in 2008 and The Pack is Back in 2009. Now, recently, Jeff has returned back to his native language music for his next album, in which I'll let him tell you about. Ladies and gentlemen, I have you all to welcome world-renowned smooth jazz artist, Mr. Jeff Koshua. Jeff, are you there?
I am, Kevin. That is quite an introduction. You did your homework.
Oh, hey, Jeff, listen, I have been a fan of yours, man, way back when you used to play in a very small venue in Tacoma, Washington. I'll never forget the days when my buddy Anthony Moyer and I would walk in, man, you would give us a smile, a hand wave, and you'd go do your thing. But before we get started, Jeff, could I please get you to just say something kind to our men and women in uniform that are serving all over the world?
Well, listen, they are thought of by all of us here who are safe in the States. They're thought of daily, and we cannot express enough our gratitude, our thanks for what they do. Every single one of them, well, they're giving of themselves literally, you know, their entire being to keep us safe, and we cannot express our thanks enough.
Jeff, thank you so much for those kind words for our soldiers. But, man, we want to hear a lot about you. A lot has happened, Jeff, since I last saw you. I last saw you when I was in the Tacoma, Washington area. That was around 1998. You had already recorded, Remember Catalina, and Walk a Mile, and you would actually treat us in the venue you played with some of that music. But, Jeff, I want to step aside for a minute and let the listening audience hear from you. If you would, take us back to around that time frame and bring us forward to what's happening now.
Well, that's a long lot of time. As I was listening to you, your excellent introduction, I started to feel older and older. Because you went through so many different incarnations of my performances. But so starting from that, that was just before I signed with what I would consider to be my first major record label, which was Native Language Music. And that first CD that I did with them, this would be my third CD, solo CD, but my first with Native Language, was called Another Door Opens. And that's when I had left the Rippingtons, and that's why it's called Another Door Opens. When one door closes, another door opens. And it was kind of the start, official start, I'd say, of my solo career. And it went very well. That album had a song called the Ah Ooh Song, which did very well on radio and kind of helped me make a mark as a solo artist. So that started the journey right there. And I did, I think, three more albums with Native Language Music, Peace of Mind, Simple Truth, and Play, as you'd mentioned.
Yeah.
And then I left them, and I, let's see, about that same, it's kind of foggy right now. About that same time, after releasing Play, I switched over to, that's right, I switched over to Shaughnessy Records.
Yes.
The one, to produce one album. And at that same time, the Sax Pack had started their first CD. I started the group with some friends, and we toured for quite a few years before we actually made our first CD. That was all happening around that time when we were making our first CD. But, gosh, so much has happened. And that the touring sort of has been focused on the Sax Pack for a great many years. And then I rejoined the Rippingtons, as you mentioned, for their 20th year anniversary. And I've been with them ever since. And the most common question I get asked is, how is it possible to do touring with several different groups? I played with David Benoit last summer. And the Rippingtons, you know, and here's it. I would love to say, oh, I'm busy, everything, you know, all the time. And true, there are weeks where it's very busy. But by and large, playing with a touring group is not like it used to be. You know, back in the day, one group would do 100 days a year. These days, it's more like 40 or 50. So as a result, there is room in the schedule to play with more than one group. That's how it works.
You know, Jeff, as you were talking, though, it took me back again, and I'm going to continue to revert back there because this is one of the things that we saw. I just want to share with you from being a fan from the first time that we got to meet you personally up until the time when your music career just took off, especially as you just expounded on in the 2000s. But when you played in that venue in downtown Tacoma, Washington, one of the things that we were able to do to identify with was, Jeff, it didn't matter to you if you played before two people or 200,000. You always had a keen attention to detail to ensure that everything that you and the band gave was worthy of the receiving audience's time and attention. And we would often talk about you, man, long after the show was over, and we'd be on our way home, and we talked about the passion you played with and how much you cared that the listening audience appreciated what you had to deliver. What I would like for you to share with the listening audience, Jeff, is how did all of that start? Because when we see you on the grand stage, those of us that saw you in that room, we already knew that was coming. How did that passion start in you, start playing the way that you do?
Thank you for that. You know, the passion is absolutely real, and I still feel it this very day, as I did when I first started playing saxophone way back when I was in the eighth grade. It comes from love. It comes from the love of music. I grew up initially I listened to pop music before I started listening to jazz. So I listened to whatever my sister had. You know, my first musical influence was actually my sister, because she let me listen to her Earth, Wind & Fire records. And I do mean records. They were, you know, LPs back then. Before then, though, my parents had bought this 8-track tape player. Hardly anyone knows what they are, but depending on your age. An 8-track is a big, clunky cassette thing. It's a very odd technology in that it was 8 tracks, meaning you'd play, I guess, 8 songs at a time. You could switch, you know, between the song you were listening to. It was very cumbersome. You couldn't rewind it too well. But anyway, I was basically listening to whatever we had around the house. And fortunately, in my household, my sister had some cool, you know, Earth, Wind & Fire things in Chicago, LPs. My parents had Benny Goodman, Glenn Miller, John Denver, the Carpenters. So, actually, some of the best music of that era. And I was exposed to all that. But it comes from that. It comes from loving music. And then wanting desperately to be able to play like that guy on the record. You know, it really got started when Chuck Mangione came to popularity.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
His big hit, Feel So Good, you know, was the quote-unquote songbird, Kenny G songbird of the time. It was huge. It crossed over to pop. And that was right when I was learning to play saxophone. So I listened to him 24/7. And his great saxophone player, Kurt Vidala. Yeah. But I was,
ladies,
you know,
I'm sorry, Jim. Give me 1 second here.
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the world-renowned smooth jazz recording artist, Mr. Jeff Koshua. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, he's going to be talking to you about some of the things that he's currently doing in his current project. And before, when you leave, go and check out jeffkoshua.com. Go to his website and be back in 60 seconds. Back to the Artist First Radio Network, the Kevin Zimmerman Show. I'm Kevin Zimmerman. Yes, folks, we have on the show with us right now world-renowned smooth jazz recording artist, Mr. Jeff Koshua. Now, Jeff, I understand that you're recently about to release a new project. Why don't you tell the listening audience about what you're currently doing?
Yeah, I just last week completed a solo CD, and I've returned to the native language label, so I'm very excited about that. And I got to say, I'm very proud of this project. It's called Let It Ride, and I think it's my best work yet. I recorded it over a period of a couple of years, and let me tell you, Kevin, I called in every favor from every friend I have. I thought, let's do this up big, because for the last few years, I was doing a lot of co-writing, and that's fun to do, especially with the Sax Pack, and also with my last solo CD, a lot of co-writing with a very talented musician named Chris Parks, and also with a guy you might know, Kim Waters, who co-wrote this album. So this is my return to actually solo composing as well, sitting at a keyboard and running the songs for me myself, and I really enjoyed that process. So this is a result of a couple of years of writing and producing and recording my friends and myself. And so some of the friends that are on this CD I begged and pleaded and bribed them with car washes and Starbucks gift cards, whatever I could afford. Just, I was doing this is a self-funded project, so a lot of us musicians went through that during the recession. Like, okay, no label support, you got to do it yourself. So anyway, I called up friends and Trader Davis and whatnot. Some of the friends are Russ Freeman and David Benoit, Chuck Loeb, plays in a cut, and also from Spyro Gyro, one of my most influential musical groups, and one of the most influential musicians that I listen to is Tom Schumann, keyboard from Spyro Gyro, and he appears on two cuts on the CD.
Yeah,
so,
if I could ask you for Let It Ride, how does one get to the place, when you get to playing at the level that you play, for those of us that watch you, to us it's phenomenal how someone just can generate hit after hit, music after music, and you generate the kind of music that will actually give someone some serenity. You'll generate the kind of music that will give you that funk, rhythm, and blues feeling. But to be able to do that, what when you were doing Let It Ride, what helped you to compose the song that we're going to hear on that CD?
That's a very good question. The title is no accident, even if it's a very common saying, Let It Ride. That was sort of my mantra during the creative process of this CD, and that is, just let it flow. Don't second guess. Trust your instincts. Let it ride. And that sort of just let your passion go and follow your passion. All those kind of phrases we've heard before were what I was saying to myself, kind of coaching myself along the creative process. Because there can be a lot of times where you start to doubt yourself, especially when you're composing by yourself. You're thinking, is this too complex? Or is it too simple? Or is it too this or that? And you start to second guess yourself. And so the almost experiment I was going through was just quiet all those voices. Just be quiet and let the music that's inside out. That's the process.
When I look at the names that are on here, that's going to be on this CD, well, first of all, I folks, if you're out there listening, it's no secret. I am a huge Jeff Joshua fan, so just kind of bear with me here. But when I look at the names, the respectable names of the performers that you are on the stage with, and then to see you, and you have earned every being right there with them. I don't rank any of them above you nor beneath you. All of you are great in your own right. Jeff, when you're standing with these guys, when you contact these guys and say, do this piece with me, how does that make you feel to know that you've arrived? Because you have to arrive to be able to pull this kind of talent.
Yeah, how it makes me feel is one word, blessed. I'm lucky to have such talented friends that I could call up on the phone. And I think also some karmic stuff, because at times I've had friends call me and say, hey, I don't have any money, and can you help me out with this or that and the other, and I'll trade you later on down the road. And I always accept because I know I'm going to need a favor down the road. So we kind of help each other. We've learned to help each other out in this community. We really have. And
that's
so lucky. Yeah.
That's really, really interesting to know that you guys collaborate like that and help one another when you're doing something of this nature. Now, what I also find interesting, Jeff, is with the demanding schedule that you have, certainly you can't always get in one place at one time. How grateful for you for modern day technology, man, because I'm sure if someone does a piece, or I could be wrong, but I'm thinking when you have that many individuals collaborating on one CD, you got this guy in this location, you got this guy in that location, you're in different time zones. Man, how do you even schedule all that to bring it all together?
You know, it's like, pass it on is the terminology. It's like, I'll lay down they lay down the demo work, and then, like, in other words, when I say demo, like, it'll have a fake drum machine, it'll have, you know, me playing keyboards, etc. And then I will put my real saxophone on there to give it some sort of human feel. And then I'll take those tracks. Actually, I did, in one instance with Russ Freeman, I actually did travel to L.A. to record him in person, so we did work together. And that went very smoothly. And he was listening to me as he played, and then I took the two of us on these tracks and then sent them to David Benoit. And he was able to listen to Russ and me play and then put his part in. So they're actually, even though it's delayed geographically and time-wise, there is still some true interaction happening, and you can hear it on the album.
Wow. Wow. That is absolutely amazing how you guys do that. And then to find yourself in a moment where you record it separately like that, and then the moment comes where somehow, by the grace of God, man, you and maybe one or more of those guys get on the stage at one time and just play that thing out. That, to me, is just absolutely amazing. Well, Jeff, listen, tell us your touring schedule, if you mind. Is there anything that you have coming up here within a short or a mid-range time period, places that you're going to be, places you're going to be playing, where the listening audience can come, anywhere that you're going to be, and check you out?
Yes. Well, the best place to, there's a lot of dates coming up. This is an unusual year. Normally, I'm touring a lot of the summer, like now. But this year is a little different. I was a little more quiet in June and August here. July was a little bit busy, but June was quiet, August was quiet. But all heck breaks loose in September and October. I'm going to be very busy in the fall touring. So what's coming up is the Sax Pack. Has a lot of dates in September, as do the Rippingtons. The Rippingtons are doing a bus tour, which we've not done in years, through the East Coast. But before we start that bus tour, we are going to swing through Texas at the end of September. So I want to invite you and your friends out to the show at
wow.
the One World Theater in Austin.
Wow. You said I'm taking notes. I know we're doing an interview, Jeff, but I am taking notes. Because at the end of September, I know where I need to be. Wow, that is amazing. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the listening audience out there, you are listening to world-renowned smooth jazz recording artist, Mr. Jeff Koshua. We're going to come back in 1 minute, but while we're away, please go to www.jeffkoshua.com. That's JeffKashiwa.com. That's www.jeffkashiwa.com. Check out his website, check out everything that he's doing, and come back and listen to Jeff in about 1 minute. I'm Kevin Zimmerman. Tonight we've been extremely blessed to have on our show my friend and special guest, the world-renowned smooth jazz recording artist, Mr. Jeff Koshua. Jeff, we talked about a couple of things since we've been on the show. We went all the way back to 1995, man, talking about Remember Catalina and 97 to Walk a Mile. We've come all the way up to August, when you're going to be releasing Let It Ride. But for our listening audience, and I know you have a lot of fans out there that are going to be listening to the show, Jeff, whatever last words you want to share with us, whatever you want to say, this is your time. I'll turn it over to you.
Well, to all the fans, first and foremost, thank you so much for listening and for coming out to the live shows. And if you did want to find out where we're playing either when I'm playing either with the Rippingtons or the Sax Pack or my solo group, you can go to jeffkoshua.com and click on the brand new website and click on the tour page to see where we're at. And also, you know, with regard to scheduling, you've mentioned what I've been up to. You're asking what I've been up to. I've been teaching at Shoreline Community College as well, and I do that part-time.
Wow.
I teach. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I've been doing it for 2 years, so this coming September will be my third year there. And I teach an ensemble called Funk and Groove, and we have a blast. It's a 17-piece group with horns and singers and rhythm section, and we do all the great funk classics from the 60s, 70s, and beyond. We do, you know, the Twin Fire, Chicago, James Brown, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a lot of fun, and I teach three online courses, actually four online courses at the school as well, so that allows me to travel and yet still conduct classes by traveling.
Man, that is fascinating. Who better than to learn from? And Jeff, I'm going to have to retract a little bit here because I'm remembering something else, and I know I said last words as if we were wrapping it up, but I've got to go back to this. There were times in which I saw you play, and you broke out in, I guess it's called an electronic wind instrument.
Oh, yeah.
Man, tell, how did all of that start?
Well,
how did that start, man?
I'll tell you exactly how it started. This instrument you're talking about is called the electronic wind instrument, and it is made by a company called Akai, and it's a wonderful, wonderful instrument. And as far as instruments go, it's very new. It's probably 20, 30 years old. It has many different models, but anyway, the first guy I saw play it was a guy named Michael Brecker, who helped develop it. A guy named Niall Steiner invented it. It's called the Steiner phone for a while. Michael Brecker was playing it live, and then that's when Kai bought the design and started making it. But Michael Brecker was the first premier, you know, genius of the instrument. And I remember watching him years ago, back in the 90s, playing it, and my jaw dropped because I'd never seen anything like it before. And what struck me is the beyond the novelty of it being a wind-driven synthesizer, that is, a saxophone player could play a synthesizer. More than that, it was the musicality that this electronic wind instrument had, the subtlety, the musicianship he was able to express through this instrument was what blew my mind, and that's what keeps me on the instrument today, is that it's infinitely expressive, and that's why I like to make joy playing it so much.
Well, Jeff, when I saw you play it, the same expression that you mentioned when you saw jaw-dropping, that is the same thing that happened to us when we saw you.
Okay.
We were like, wow. And so on that note, tell us a little bit, Jeff, about how you feed off the crowd. When you play something, what is it that you sense or see that just makes you say, okay, I'm going to leave it all here on the stage right now because I see that they connect with me?
You know, my wife, Shante, is really an astute observer of music. She's, you know, a naturally great musician. She sings beautifully, but she's not a professional musician, but she sings, you know, from the heart. And she told me a very wise thing. She told me many wise things, but one of she said, when it comes to performing, people want to feel as if they could do what you're doing. In other words, they want to feel connected to what you're doing. So although a bunch of technical stuff is, you know, a lot of flash, it's very exciting and everything, there are times where simple gets the message across better. And I like to kind of play with both ends of that spectrum. Play very simply as if anyone in the audience could play this on the saxophone. And then pick it up from there and, you know, then bring in the whatever technique and whatever else I can do to make it more exciting. But I think it's nice to have that full spectrum, and that's one way to connect to the audience, is to play in such a way that it's almost like you're singing.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the world-renowned smooth jazz recording artist, Mr. Jeff Koshua. Jeff, we are extremely grateful to have you on the show this evening. Also, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to lay it on the line here and now. Many of you that frequent the show know that I have a book out there called A Time for Everything, The Kevin Zimmerman Story. I'm going to stand on the talent of Jeff Koshua. Jeff is releasing his latest CD, Let It Ride, on and confirm if I'm right or wrong, Jeff, on August the 21st. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Available now.
Okay. Jeff is releasing Let It Ride on August the 21st. I am going to encourage each and every one of you out there that are listening to go out and purchase the CD. Now, if you purchase Jeff's CD and you don't like it, you have 24 hours. If you purchase this CD and you don't like it, contact me at my website, www.atfekz.com. And as a consolation, I will send you a free autographed copy of A Time for Everything, The Kevin Zimmerman Story. So go out on August 21st, the moment it hits the stores, purchase Let It Ride by Jeff Koshua. You have 24 hours to listen to it. Now, the clock is going to stop on the 22nd because I don't have enough books to go past that date. But if you don't like his CD, that's how much confidence I have in my good friend and his talent. You contact me at www.atfekz.com. Contact Kevin. Let me know that, hey, I purchased it, I gave it a shot, and I will send you a free autographed copy of A Time for Everything, The Kevin Zimmerman Story. But I am confident that I will not take any communication regarding that. But what I would like for you to do is go out and purchase it and let me know what you think. And I'm pretty confident that you're going to become an avid fan like myself of Mr. Jeff Koshua. Also, why I have you here, you guys know that I do have the book out there. Also, if you would like to support the Artist First Radio Network, The Kevin Zimmerman Show, please log on to that website, click donate, and go ahead and contribute to the show or become a sponsor. As you all know, all money that I get from the book as well as The Kevin Zimmerman Show are used to go towards our Wounded Warriors as well as our Soldier Support Organization to just show our men and women in uniform that we are extremely appreciative of the sacrifices that they made so that we could do the things that we do. Jeff, once again, sir, thank you very much for being on the show. We sincerely appreciate you. We support you. We are pushing you to continue to go on and do bigger and better things. And personally, from me to you, I look forward to seeing you in Austin at the end of September, sir.
That's a deal, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
All right, sir. You guys have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.